And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Greater Cincinnati is home to a number of thriving communities whose members have their origins in Asian and Pacific Island countries. All throughout May, organizations representing these communities will celebrate Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. And I'll have events throughout the city and the greater region. Joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about those celebrations are Asianti co-editor Caitlin Beal. Caitlin, welcome to our program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm sorry, that is Asianati, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, my apologies.
That's okay.
Asianati.
I like that flair.
All right, a little too formal, I think, at first. And we also have with us Ohio Progressive Asian Women's Leadership member, Sulin No. Sulin, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Questions, comments, 513-419-7100. So let's start with you, Caitlin. This month is all about Asian Pacific American heritage. Is there anything more urgent about this type of celebration, considering some of the news that we've experienced over the past many, many months?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for bringing that up. Unfortunately, yes, we have seen a pretty big uptick in anti-Asian violence and hate crimes. Between March of 2020 and February of 2021, so pretty much during the height of the pandemic, there were nearly 3,800 anti-Asian hate incidents that was just reported. And I think here in Cincinnati, you know, we are seeing, unfortunately, a rise in violence and discrimination against even some of our local restaurants like Tea and Bowl and Oriental Walk. So unfortunately, yeah, there is a motivation. There is a motivation to be more visible and celebrate more. But there's also a lot to celebrate. You know, the Asian American community here and nationally is resilient and joyful. So yeah, we are excited to be doing all the things with the Asian American community.
Sulin, I'd like to give you an opportunity to share your thoughts on that as well.
Sure. Thank you. Sure. Well, I'm a member of OPAL. We're a grassroots member-led community that organizes for social justice and seeks to elevate the voices, visibility, and progressive leadership of Asian, Asian American, and Pacific Islander women and non-binary people in Ohio. And something that's really important in our work is recognizing that equality and equity is intersectional. So, you know, we just came through this big year of recognizing Black Lives Matters. And that's intersecting with this conversation of, you know, hashtag stop Asian hate, you know, and the anti-Asian rhetoric surrounding COVID-19. And I think what's really important to note is that we have a lot in common between the incidents that are happening between these two communities. So, you know, I think it's easy to think about, you know, Asian American Heritage Month as being this single thing. But it's a recognition that our experiences as Asian Americans are not so different from the American experiences that everyone has. And so I'm really excited for all of the events that are happening this month, because I hope it gives people an opportunity to see that, you know, we are all community members and we have a lot to share with each other.
Caitlin Beal is with the Asian Pacific American Heritage Month Committee. She's chair for the Asian American Cultural Association of Cincinnati. Caitlin, you know, when something like Oktoberfest rolls around, we see Cincinnati celebrating its German heritage. We know we enjoy St. Patrick's Day around here for the Irish heritage. There's a lot of Black American heritage here as well. Talk about the significance of Asian Americans in this region.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we do have a history here in Cincinnati that is often untold and not as recognized as it should be. The Asian American community here looks different than in the coast or other major cities. You know, we don't have a Chinatown or an Asia town, though we actually did have a Chinatown downtown back in the 40s before it disbanded during World War II. But you know, I can't really speak to that rich history itself, but my hope is that, you know, through events this month and hopefully year round, that history can really come to light more.
Part of this event throughout the month of May includes one on May the 10th. And this is something that I understand you're participating in Sulin. This is a panel discussion exploring solidarity and tensions between Black and Asian communities. You just touched on this a little bit, but what do you think an audience will take away from this conversation?
Yeah, so this is a conversation that is going to be between friends. You know, I know that I'm part of this organization in social justice, but, you know, I can't speak for Angela and Ronnie, my co-panelists, but I would venture to guess that they would say something similar that, you know, we are not academics, we're not scholars, we're not experts on like political education or race. But we are people who experience race throughout our lives. And each of us in our own way have been trying to understand, you know, what does it mean to be Black or Asian in the middle of these national conversations, these movements, in the middle of all these news? And then what does it mean to support each other during all these times? I'm sure a lot of people have seen rhetoric on social media that says, you know, you can have Black friends and still be racist, right? So what does that mean? How can we be friends with people across different races, but also, you know, acknowledge our prejudices, our biases, and understand where that is coming from? So this conversation through Urban Consulate is going to be bringing us as friends together to the table, just normal people talking about how our experiences have impacted us and then also impacted the way that we build relationships across our differences.
We saw a video clip gain international attention from right here in this region. It involved Westchester Township Trustee Board Chair Lee Wong when he stood and removed part of his shirt to reveal scars that he received during his service in the U.S. Army, while speaking about these acts of violence against Asian Americans. Sulin, how impactful was that, I don't want to say performance, that expression from Trustee Chan?
Yeah, you know, that was really moving for me personally because my husband is Asian American also, and he is also a military vet. And, you know, it reminds me of all the ways growing up as an Asian American born and raised in Ohio of trying to fit in, to prove my Americanness, perpetual foreigner, to prove that I can also contribute to the United States, that I deserve to be here. And it's, you know, it's a very personal experience that doesn't get talked about, right? The Asian American experience is often erased. You know, our history is not taught in schools. Our experience is relegated to specific points in history. We don't even talk about the ways that Asian Americans have organized and created change within our country and, you know, linked arms with civil rights movements in other places. So to see, you know, the councilman stand up and share his personal story, that just really, you know, it rung all the bells in my life. You know, that is a story that is, that I've lived through myself.
We're talking about Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. There will be events throughout Cincinnati and the surrounding region this month. We're joined today by Asianatty co-editor Caitlin Beal and Ohio Progressive Asian Women's Leadership member Sulin Noh. Caitlin, I'm looking at the list of events and also taking into consideration the conversations we've already had leading up to this moment. And I'm wondering, when you're planning a celebration of culture, how do you incorporate events where that's the goal, where you're just celebrating the cultural contributions of Asian Pacific Americans, but also seeking to educate? Is that a challenge in these times?
Well, first, let me say that I cannot take full credit for this amazing calendar of events. The events are hosted by a number of different Asian organizations here in Cincinnati. So we have events with the Japan America Society of Greater Cincinnati, with the Sensei Museum Center, with the Midwest USA Chinese Chamber of Commerce. So we have many participating organizations. So I am the person that was able to pull it all into one spot. But a lot of these organizations committed a lot of time and energy to make this full month of programming.
So are we doing like a hybrid of online and in-person stuff?
Yes, yes. So it will be a mix of online conversations and seminars and webinars, as well as in-person celebrations and parties and activities.
So you had your kickoff party on Saturday. Talk a little bit about that reception.
Oh, that's so beautiful. It was great. The vibe was perfect. It was a beautiful day. We had a really diverse mix of people who showed up. And, you know, there was no agenda. It was really just an opportunity for people to really spend time together, to show up with their families, get to meet other people. Obviously, we were social distancing and practicing safe COVID protocols. But, you know, again, without trying to center the trauma that our communities have been facing, I think a lot of people have been feeling afraid and in these conversations about the discrimination, feeling invisible, as Sulin has said. And so I think this was an opportunity for us to really just show up as ourselves and really be in community with each other. So it was a beautiful thing.
And this week is the second annual Asian Food Week. And this is a week-long campaign to highlight Cincinnati Asian restaurants. There's no shortage of those. My goodness, the community certainly loves that cuisine. What do we have in store to celebrate that this week?
Yes. I mean, we're really just scratching the surface. Asian Addy is a digital platform that we launched last fall. The Asian American Cultural Association of Cincinnati launched it last fall to celebrate Asian food and culture. You know, by our estimate, we have over 300 Asian restaurants in the greater Cincinnati area. For Asian Food Week, we've got 50 restaurants. So that's actually an increase from last year's first Asian Food Week of 38 restaurants. But we've got more types of restaurants. We've got more types of cuisine. We've got Hong Kong bakeries and bubble tea and Cambodian food, Korean food, Thai food, ramen. We have actually expanded to up to Oxford, Ohio. So really, this is ultimately a campaign to get people to check out the Asian restaurants in our city. And it is so diverse. And oftentimes, you know, we get a very small picture of all of the different types of food.
I wanted to ask about that because I know that, you know, maybe we think of Chinese food and we have, if we're unsophisticated in that regard, we might have like one dish or two dishes that we know that we can go and we can get there. If you're in that category, what do you recommend that you've got to try in order to broaden your horizon and all the cuisines that are available from the Asian Pacific American community?
Ooh, you know, you can't put me on the spot like that. I feel like I can't pick one. First of all, I will say that, you know, even within Chinese cuisine, there are so many different types of Chinese cuisine that are going to be highlighted. So I would say, in general, what I would encourage people to do is to check out the different menus. It's at asianaddy.com/AFW. And I would say just try something that you have never tried before.
Well, you mentioned bubble tea, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff on social media about this. Tell us what it is for those of us who are not yet familiar with it.
Well, bubble tea is a beverage that is made with tea and these little chewy tapioca balls, which are the bubbles. You can get different types of like bubbles or toppings, but yeah, tapioca balls are kind of the main thing. And yeah, there's so many different flavors. It's a Taiwanese drink. I would say again, like, we have amazing bubble tea places here in Cincinnati, a couple that are participating in Asian Food Week. Yeah, I mean, they're very trendy and very popular, but I will have to warn you, we are actually in a bubble tea shortage right now across the country. So there's literally a national shortage of bubbles, of boba. So I would say, yeah, get it while you can.
And let me turn back to Sulin now, because, you know, for a lot of us who might grow up in a predominantly white part of town, our first introduction to people of Asian descent or people from Asia is through restaurants. Is there anything you can share on that perspective, the importance that Asian food plays in introducing the culture to Americans?
Yeah, that is a great question. You know, I love talking about food and culture because it's just, everybody loves food. It's just the easiest way to bring people together to share something that everybody loves. Like Keelan said, I really recommend that everybody go out and give these restaurants a try. I think there's this focus on authenticity and like finding that authentic cultural experience through food. And I really encourage people to broaden their horizons on what kind of food they're enjoying, because a lot of Asian American restaurateurs have taken the limited resources they have here and blended their American and their home country experiences together to create something new. The kind of innovation that's happening within the restaurant scene here in Cincinnati is just incredible. I love all the chefs that have come here from all these different countries and have really created something that's unique to this region, to their experience here. So, you know, I encourage people to try a new food, sit down with somebody that maybe they wouldn't have thought of breaking bread with before, and having these conversations about, you know, what does this food represent for you? Where does it come from? How has it changed? And explore the stories that way. I think it's a delicious way to encounter new cultures and new ideas.
I've got less than a minute remaining. We've spent the past year in this country grappling with what has been characterized as a reckoning on race. And more recently, we've been talking a lot about the violence against Asian people as well. Is there room for all of this in the American thought process? Is the country mature enough, Sulin, to address all of these issues at once?
I think so. I think, you know, especially with the pandemic having forced everyone to go online, and we're getting a lot of information from a lot of different places, and it's forcing us to have these conversations on a personal level that normally would be reserved for like the ivory tower or in academia. And I think as long as we continue to have these conversations with each other and to push our boundaries and learn something new and listen to somebody who isn't like us, the closer we're going to get to a world that is more equitable, more peaceful, and inclusive for everyone.
We have full details on Asian Pacific American Heritage Month events throughout Cincinnati and the surrounding area at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. My thanks to Asian Addy co-editor Caitlin Beal and Ohio Progressive Asian Women's Leadership member Sulin Ngo. Thanks to both of you for the time you gave us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Find archives of the program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.